Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat Hamilton.
Hi there.
And John Ramos. You may have missed the first hour today. If you did, you got to go back and catch it. Talking about faith, talking about a time of rest. A time of rest, that God gives us a time of rest. How to pray a prayer of faith. A prayer of faith. And we talked about God's news behind the news, how Mexico is requesting our senators to give them a list of everybody that owns certain types of guns and give permission to people to go into our houses and search once a year to see if we have those guns. It's like, really?
Crazy.
Talk about the Fourth Amendment and the Second Amendment. We're going to be talking about in the extra hour about being a doer of God's word, the word of wisdom, the top three, and so many other important, encouraging moments. We're going to be able to talk also about how we tend to wander, not wonder, but wander as sheep. We're not sheep, but we still tend to wander, and God compares us to sheep. And community organizing, yes. In the extra hour today, you're listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat Hamilton.
Hi there.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
Here we are, moving in the extra hour. That was so encouraging, John. We ended out the first hour talking about praying and faith. I felt that prayer, you know. And sometimes it's good just to hear people pray, and it kind of lets you know. And if you haven't ever gone to IHOP Kansas City's website at ihop.org, and listen to the prayer room. Listen to them pray. They pray 24 hours a day. Well, they pray, worship and play music and pray for all that together for 24 hours. And you can just begin to listen to people pray, and it'll help you begin to articulate a prayer. And you'll be surprised eventually. But praying in faith, you know, confessing God's word over you, what God's
so,
word
so
says.
Important. So important, you know, because and that's the thing. If we have only 19% of believers that are reading the actual word of God, how are we going to pray the word of God back to the Lord? You know what I mean? We spending time with God, abiding, is so important because you're agreeing with God's word. It's beautiful to pray the word of God when you're abiding. That's powerful, you know. Saying, Lord, I want to see this manifested in my life and be in agreement with the truth,
right?
Until it gets locked on the inside of your faith.
Norman Vincent Peale wrote a book, The Mouth. I think it's called The Mouth. And he says every day he would take his Gus pills, P-I-L-L-S. And he took the scriptures and he wrote them in a way that you're actually speaking first person about yourself.
Yeah.
And begin to just, you know, confess these things over. You notice that the enemy's taken over the airwaves and the sound waves of trying to speak things over. That's why Islam puts these towers up and have this Antichrist message coming out five times a day.
Mm. Yeah.
And because it's just, you know, claiming the airways. But if you can begin to speak over yourself, sometimes there's times when you're like David, everything just kind of goes awry. You're just trying to, somebody says, well, how come you have it? It's like, right now I'm just trying to survive. Yeah, we're trying to survive the guy that thinks I'm trying to take his job or something. So remember, Saul was actually running after him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just terrified that I'm trying to take his job, and I really respect him, but he's just fearful and self-minded and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But then he has to work with the people he doesn't want to work with, and the very people he was protecting, and he didn't even ask to be with them in the first place. They came to the cave he was in, and everything just kind of progressed from there. Now they're even turning against him. And so he had to encourage his own self in the Lord.
Yeah, think about what we talked about yesterday. You were talking about self-hate. That a lot of people are into self-hate, and there's a segment that we're talking about forgiveness and receiving with Dwayne Wade's mother, that, you know, her testimony was that she was in prison and her son had to see her in prison, she had a lot of self-hate to get over. And I love what David says in the Psalms. He says, listen, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and my soul knows right well. And it's like, man, confessing that there's so much self-hate today, and people are just, you know, looking at themselves and comparing their bodies, and this is ugly, and that's ugly, and this, and that's like, listen, you got to get God's perspective. You got to get God's perspective on who he says that you are. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. I used to have a little sign. Actually, my mother gave it to me when I was just maybe a young kid in school, and I had it in my mirror, and it said, "God, you are okay. because God doesn't make junk. Can't tell you how that little thing on my mirror when I was a kid helped me for such a long period of time as I was getting ready in the morning to go to school and remembering that, you know what, I'm okay. I'm okay. That's right, because God doesn't make junk. Everything that God does is good.
That's very good. That's very good. And you just begin to speak what God says over you. There's so many different ways that you can do that. But just as you read the scripture, think about writing them out in personal application to your life. You know, blessed is, you know, the man that abides, and that if you abide, then you're fruitful. And then you can take that whole John 15 and begin to just write it out in a way that's an affirming statement over you. You can begin to write out Joshua chapter 1 like it's affirming, and you just say, this is who I am. And you're confessing what not yet has manifested in your life by faith, knowing that that's going to happen. And that's just that's so important to do. And that's why you have to have clear vision for where you're going, as we're talking about also in the first hour, because if you don't have clear vision, you can't get a clear word. If you can't get a clear word, you can't get a clear direction for what you're going to be doing. And so how can you have faith in blurriness and ambivalence? You can't.
Right.
A double-minded man
gets nothing.
Nothing from God. And it's not necessarily about when you're beginning to determine what's going to, you know, God's going to do. It's not about, you know, good. It's about God. And a lot of good things are getting in the way of God things because people say, that's a good thing. Aren't I supposed to be doing that? And it's like, you know, hey, you know, just you need to do, all you got to do is do something what God has called you to be able to do something about. If you have not yet gone, you can go to the VFN Torch, and I love what CBN did for celebrating Black history. And they have all these different men and women from our history talking about their role in history, George Washington Carver, and Condoleezza Rice. The people that marched with Dr. King, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and even some things that Billy Graham did, you know, in regards to what they call would be unthinkable, that he would not have any segregation going on in any of his meetings.
Oh, that's right.
And so Oral Roberts as well, civil rights heroes, and just so many good things to go. And it's got all these different interviews with these different men, Phelps, and so many of them. And take a moment, go to Torch today during this time of it's Black History Month, where we're trying to grab a hold as much as we can about our brothers and sisters, about the history in America, and reclaiming the history that has been erased or not even written down. And it's awesome when you go back and listen. It's amazing the things that the African American brothers and sisters, and those that of different races that stood up for civil rights and what's important in our country, for our Constitution, mind you.
It was really powerful. I like the fact that I think it was Garvey. Trying to think of
Carver.
Carver, yes.
George Washington Carver.
Yes, the peanut farmer. I think it was a quote that said, I'm paraphrasing, but he said, Lord, I asked, he was into science and he wanted to know stuff. And he says, Lord, he loved God. I want you to show me the secrets of the world or something like that. And he says, well, the Lord didn't give me the secrets of the world, but he sure gave me the secrets of the peanut. And he must have invented like 300 things that you can do with peanuts.
With a peanut and the peanut shell. He did. He definitely did.
And it was just amazing. In fact, I think it was Albert Einstein actually even tried to hire him on at one time. And he refused to what he wanted to just to do and teach and share. And it's just beautiful, all those contributions that he was able to do, which is amazing. And he gave God all the credit. I love abiding because it's not something that I have to do.
Right.
It's something that I get to do.
Isn't it exciting? Oh my goodness, if you only knew how exciting this is. Like, okay, finally, I get my abiding time. Yeah, it makes it all worthwhile, don't it?
Yeah, think about it. I get a chance to be with God every morning.
With God.
Exactly. You know, I may not have an audience with anyone else. You know, I may not have an audience with cabinet members or government officials or anyone of that type of importance. But you know what? I have an audience with the King of Kings. You know what I mean?
King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Awesome.
Well, you know, this morning as I was reading in the Word, started meditating on the thought, you know, everybody wants the blessing of God, you know, Greg, everybody wants God on their side. I mean, who wouldn't? Someone goes on an interview and they're about to get on the interview. Can you please pray for me? Oh, sure. I can pray for you. You know, want God on our side. You know, you have children issues, you know, ever had some of those before, you know, young and old. Can you please pray for my kids? I need God on my side. Maybe some marriage issues, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Is God out there? Need God out there? Yeah, yeah. Never turn down prayer, you know?
Right.
And people out there can have money issues. And it's like, oh my goodness, I need God. I need God on my side. Well, there's a little secret. Not really a secret, Greg, because it's really found in God's word. But James chapter 4, verse 8 just flew the page to me as I was reading it this morning. And the Word of God says, come near to God, and He will come near to you.
So you're saying that we make an approach. We begin to come, our abiding time. We just begin to go hang out with Him.
Absolutely. You know, in the Old Testament, King Saul, the Word of God says that he built an altar for the Lord. And it was the first time he had done that. He made an abiding place. He said, a set time and a set place where he can just read and spend time. He really didn't read, you know, but we read. Spend time with God. And we take the first step.
King Saul.
King Saul.
He didn't hang out. He quit hanging out after a while, I think. He quit abiding after a while.
Yeah, after a while. But he started out good. You know, started out good. And
so it's important not only just to begin abiding, but just to, you know, to continue.
Absolutely. You know, and so many times, you know, we can get into the trap of maybe seeking the Lord's hand, God's hand, but we're not seeking His face. We're not seeking Him. And, you know, we definitely want to be able to do that. We want to be able to spend time with Him and be encouraged that if we are on the Lord's side, if we are drawing close to Him, then He is with us. We can have that full assurance of knowing that God is with us. Jeremiah 33 says, call to me, and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. And that's an inheritance for us as we spend time and read His word and listen to what God really would want us to know for that day, that daily bread. And I want to encourage anyone that maybe you're not as close as where you want to be. Maybe you haven't drawn close to God. Well, guess what? You can today. You can today. God's promise is that if you return to Him, He will return to you. And so I enjoyed reading that this morning. I was just blessed and encouraged to know that the Lord is with me because I am with Him.
That's so good because, you know, sheep have a tendency to wander. You know, we go, you know, we eat at this grass for a while and we're going like, that grass looks a little bit green. I wonder what that grass tastes like, right? I mean, you know, we're not sheep.
Right.
Nobody compared us to sheep. And I know that I remember when Pat and I were over in Israel and we're there with a shepherd. Remember that, Pat, when we were there with a shepherd? And
he
was
sitting
there watching his sheep. And they had, I don't know how many sheep they were. How many they were?
It was probably 20, 30 sheep.
So it was 75.
Actually, it was 26. Sheep,
well, it was more than 26, wasn't it? It had to be.
Well, they were scattered all over the plains. So it was kind of hard to
count. But yeah,
them.
They were together. They were scattered together.
Yeah.
And so he was sitting there in his straw hat, and he looked kind of just calm and all that kind of stuff. So I said, you know, let's, you know, I'm going to go out there and see if I can get close to the sheep. And then the entire herd just kind of moved away. We're like, ah! And somebody other than the shepherd, you know, and the shepherd just sat there with his two little sheep dog, and it probably just said, you stupid Americans. No, that's German. He wouldn't have said that. It would have been more like, I can't speak. Can you speak Hebrew?
No.
Okay, John can. He's deeply, he's got a pedigree.
Yeah. No, no.
Diesel has a pedigree. And so it was really interesting that, you know, he says, my sheep know my voice. And they were looking back at the shepherd to see how, you know, who is this American here in Israel? I don't know if we were in Tiberias. I don't know. Maybe Tiberias, because we actually were at the house of prayer and then got and took off. And somehow we're down there with Karen.
Right.
And so, but it was really cool to kind of see it. You know, today I have a picture in my office that has There was a shepherding contest out of Georgia, northern Georgia there. And by the way, if anybody's listening from northern Georgia, I would like some more pictures of that. I'll find out what it's actually called. But the shepherds, all the sheep are gathered around this oak tree, and he has his sheep doll right beside him, and he's got his shepherd's rod under his arm. And he's sitting there in a pair of jeans, and like a denim jacket or something. And he has a distance from the sheep, just like the shepherd did over in Israel. And it's just so cool that, you know, I want to encourage you. And this, we're going to have this conversation. We're going to be talking over our conversation that, listen, God wants shepherds over his flock. And, you know, if you're caring for someone, if you're helping disciple them, if you're seeking to attend a training like VFNU, you know, Vine Fellowship Network University, which we'll talk about maybe a little bit in this show, but you listen, it's a good thing. It's a good thing for somebody to be looking over God's people. You know, in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10, he says, God is not unjust. He will not forget the love you have shown him as you help his people and continue to help them. And see, if anything is trying to keep you and from protecting and taking care of God's people, telling you that it's not valuable, whatever the lie is. It's the lie from the father of lies. It's Satan just, you know, firing, you know, thoughts into your mind and your heart and telling you, you know, who are you? You can't do this and you can't do this. And listen, you know, I don't care who's fighting for me. I'm glad they are. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
And go ahead.
I'm sorry. Greater love have no man than to lay down his life for his friend.
Right. And you think about it. David is a good example of how he fought for God's people. You know, when he finally got to the place of leadership over God's people, he said this words. He says, I know why you got me here. You brought me here to protect your people. Mm. And the Lord says, you know, if the shepherds, present shepherds don't do it, I'll raise up for myself shepherds. And I'm going to encourage you that we're personally seeing many shepherds raised up, and we're starting to see even more of them start to be alerted and finding out, you know, inside of me, there's a desire inside of me to look over God's people and see that they're protected and that they're discipled and that they're loved. And it's just really cool to see God do that. You know, God's raising up shepherds, you know, for himself. And what's so cool, you know, what you're talking about in your abiding time this morning, John, that when we draw near to God, when we draw near to God, you know, he draws near to us. That is so encouraging because, you know, we got to take that first step. You know, he took the first step while we were yet sinners. He died for us. But now it's time for us to take that next step.
That's right. And we can take that step. You know, all it takes is just our hearts open and willing to be able to communicate to the Lord and say, hey, God, I'm here. I'm here. I want all that you have for me. And once we take that first step, God makes himself available to us. It's just a beautiful, beautiful relationship. Yes. Why would you give something to somebody if they didn't want it? And you taking that first step is clearly telling the Lord, yeah, hey, want them.
You know, think about it. It's not only just beautiful. It's just cool.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because we're seeing 8-year-olds, you know, get a word from the Lord. We'll be right back. I'm so excited to have Steve Kalaszewski with us on VFN Radio today. Glad to have you here.
I'm glad to be here.
And there's people out there right now that I know you're brilliant now. I mean, because you're so educated. I mean, you just graduated from University of West Florida. You've graduated from the Vine Fellowship Network University. I mean, you're about to go plant a church. You've already did church work in Florida, but you're going to go to Pittsburgh. I mean, you're just, you know, walking on water now. But imagine if you would.
God. Thank you, Jesus.
There's somebody out there listening right now on VFN Radio that they slightly felt like, you know, I had a call, but immediately they looked at themselves and they looked at their work that's even come to pass. And, you know, they started doubting themselves. Talk to that person right now about how VFNU could help them out.
Wow. If you really feel that God's just really speaking to you or just speaking in your heart, VFNU is the resource that you need, because I totally relate to you, because when God found me, I had gone through the laundry list of everything that the world offered. And I knew that as soon as the message of Jesus Christ was shared with to me. I knew that's exactly what I wanted. And God just began to just take me on a journey of just revealing himself to me. And it, no matter what he revealed himself, no matter what he revealed to me, it just made me more hungry. It just gave me a greater desire. And when God began to speak to me about VFNU, I was like, I have no idea what that is, but I know I want it. And if it has anything to do with God, sign me up. And in that, it was just like, each day was overwhelming because it was like, oh my goodness. I'm like, wow, like this is, but it was overwhelming in a good way. And it's just so God. Right. God gives you the tools. He gives you just so many revelations, just so many levels of his word that are just, he's just so good. And VFNU is just, I mean, I still have all my notes, everything. I look back on it. And even in that, it's encouraging when I look back on it. And it's like, I remember, I think I was talking about with you right after I graduated, and it was like looking back over an old photo album of all the revelations. It's just like, oh, I remember this one. Oh yeah. I remember when God spoke to me in my abiding time about this, and it was just,
isn't it amazing? So that you can gather all the information that you want to, but there's nothing like the revelation. It's so empowering, and that's what VFNU is about.
Yeah,
you know, it was revealed from God.
Yeah,
you know, it's not like, you know, you might be thinking like, I got to go take my English class, I got to take my algebra class. You know, it's just the revelation of God, and it's anointed. You know, and so you walk into it probably thinking, you know, well, I got to get this information so I can, you know, get to the point where I could minister, maybe shepherd God's people or whatever. And you walk in, the first thing you go is like, whoa, right? Right?
Yeah.
And then you finish that while, right? And then you go to the next thing, you go like, whoa, you know, it's just, he's so awesome, isn't he?
No matter how much God you have, there's more.
There really is. And if you want to find out more, you possibly interested in, you feel a call on your life, you want to know more about possibly getting into leadership, and maybe you want to feel like you're called to be a pastor and you want to be trained, just come out to go to VFNU.org. That's VFNU.org, and you can find out more.
Wow. At VFN Radio, we are looking for greater ways for you to be able to connect anywhere you go. We know that you can listen to VFN Radio on the go through the app, but now we also have the podcast. It's a great way for you to be able to automatically get all the segments totally downloaded to your digital device no matter where you're at. You can go to vfntv.com and click podcast, and you'll configure it and set it up so that no matter where you're at, you automatically have all of the highlights automatically downloaded on your digital device. vfntv.com, click podcast.
Well, I want to talk about this morning is the first half of this extra hour is a community organizer. And the reason why I want to do that, because I was one. Did you know that? I used to be a community organizer. You remember that, Pat?
I remember that.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. And in the midst of all the things that I do at the same time while I was running a plastic fabrication company, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was working for you at the time.
That's right. Page me if you need me. I'm going to be organizing communities. And so, you know, I was asked by my pastor at that time, you know, to be able to be a community organizer in regards to, well, to be involved. Now, first of all, I was actually asked to be involved just to represent the church there. And then they actually offered me a little bit later on to be the community organizer. And then that's when I actually became that. But what I found out was when they first started coming to us, you know, they were coming to us for the idea of being able to, you know, do you have any issues? Is there some sort of problem that you're having in your community? Because we want to be able to organize you and help you meet that need. And so you think, oh, my goodness, these people are here to really help us out. They actually care about us. You're like, where did they come from? And so all of a sudden people start talking about, hey, we have this stop sign issue and people are getting hurt. We have these drugs in our community. And they just start having a focus group of finding out where the problems are, that type of thing. And then at that point, then they begin to tell you, the community organizer begins to tell you about how to organize effectively where you can make change in your community. And so, and to affect that change. And then once that change is affected, then the people are empowered and then they begin to say, hey, we can do this thing. Well, you know, when I, you first started hearing that, and I was really young in the Lord, and the my pastor at that time, you know, was wanting to be effective in the community, and so we got involved and let them come into the church, and they began to kind of you know, do what they do. And, you know, basically, you know, probably naive is a good way to describe quite often some things that, you know, it's just not good to be naive. But anyway, so they came in and began to do all that. And so then, you know, eventually I was offered a position because a position came available for our community, the county in which we live, for a community organizer right there. And so I talked to a few people about it, and I took that on in addition to everything else. And it was amazing, you know, what I learned about community organizing. And it was so the way it works is you just begin to get people, you know, organized around an issue, people that never thought they had could do anything about it. And then to get them focused on a particular point where they actually flip things over or change things or that type of thing. So anyway, I'll go to Applegate, California. And I'm going to go to community organizing training. I'm in a Jesuit priest retreat in Applegate, which is north of Sacramento. And I'm out there with organizers from all around the county, our country. And I'm listening to what they're saying, you know. And I'm thinking, oh, my goodness. I'm listening to one particular lady. She's talking about, you know, her experience. And she says, you know, I have this one particular pastor, and she's talking about what they're doing. Their focus point is they come into the church because you have a group of people. You have somebody who wants to bring effective change, probably more than likely to their city or whatever. And so they seem to really focus on churches, you know. And so she's talking about one of the churches that she focused with. She's in front of all these people, and she's saying, I don't know what it is, but every time I get with this particular pastor, he shares with me everything that's on his heart. He tells me everything, you know, and she wasn't in the right spirit, you know what I'm saying? And I'm thinking, this lady's going from church to church. They're taking God's people, you know what I'm saying? And it was happening over and over again, but these particular ones, I'm not talking about if you're a community organizer, I'm just talking about my personal experience.
Right.
That their motives were not pure. Their goals were not the same as the Lord's goals. But yet they did it in the name of God. They did it in the name of God. And so one of the leaders of the organization is from Berkeley, you know, and since then I had a history lesson on Berkeley, you know. Another, you know, nothing against our listeners in Berkeley out there, but hey, you got some history right there. And I had some personal history of Berkeley, you know, and he was talking to me and trying to encourage me because I was challenging them in their viewpoints that, you know, we gotta be careful what we're doing for the church. You know, you can't just do anything you want to do. The church is God's people. And so then we go to Roseryville, New Jersey, which is a beautiful area out there. And, you know, people talk about Jersey jokingly all the time in some areas about Jersey. Jersey's beautiful. But even more beautiful than the Jersey itself is the people of Jersey. Right. I love the people of Jersey. Oh, my goodness, and the food. I want to give a big shout-out this morning to Sophia and Maria this morning. We love you, and we're excited about all that's taking place up there in New Jersey. And as a matter of fact, give a shout-out to Toys R Us up there today. But and they were training us in this a nunnery. How to organize, and we had all these people that came from around the community, but this particular professor from Berkeley was just, orchestrating the spirit or the mood of the whole group, and it was amazing what he was doing, and he talked about this is how you do it, and this is how you can, you know, manage people, and it just was so wrong. As a matter of fact, one of the guys that went with me, He was also with from the same church. He's a pastor now out in Georgia, but he was just weeping in tears. He just felt like, oh, I've sinned. This is so bad. They have like statues and stuff around, and it was just something, you know. Anyway, so we come back,
And it's just, you know, the Spirit of God is just on me about this whole thing. It's just on me about it. You know, this is just not right. You guys shouldn't be touching the church. I'm thinking something's not right. Why are you, you shouldn't have anything to do with the church. I mean, you want to organize as a citizen of your country, that's cool. But you don't touch the church. You don't, and the church shouldn't be so openly just going, hey, come on in, help us change the laws and stuff. And so then he comes in from California, and I'm going to have lunch with him, and we actually have lunch at Pensacola Beach, beautiful Pensacola Beach, and Flounder's Restaurant. If you've never been there, oh, my goodness, on the water.
My goodness, yes.
Is it nice? Or
oh,
what?
The nachos are beautiful, too.
The food's good. A fish, right? Fish?
Yeah, seafood nachos.
Seafood nachos. You never would think that would be good, but once you taste it, it's like, oh, my goodness. But anyway, so I'm sitting back there. I'll never forget this scene. And I'm talking to him, and I'm talking to him about everything, you know, and he just seems to be, you know, he's used to being a community organizer. So everything you say, they kind of twist it and turn it and never give you an answer. And so then I've just finally just said this. I said, who is Jesus to you? You know, it's like, come on, you got to give me this one. Yeah. Who is Jesus to you? And he pauses, and he looks at me, and he said, he's a carpenter.
Wow.
He's a carpenter.
That's it, huh?
A carpenter. A Jewish carpenter is what he said. And I'm like, got it. You know? And this guy, his whole system was infiltrating the church, and the church was all like, you know what? Because they were in... This is a spirit of manipulation. It's a spirit of control and manipulation, and we can't control and manipulate people, church. We're not called to do that, you know, and we're supposed to follow God and let God touch people's hearts. We're supposed to pray for those in authority over us and let God, I mean, if you're not getting paid the right wages, you know, God says that the wages you fail to pay your worker cry out against you and realize that God sees the injustices that are taking place. And so we'll talk more about the workplace and all that, but we are not supposed to go in America, for example. You can vote and, you know, share your opinions and stand up on your soapbox, but you're not supposed to underminingly manipulate people to get them to go in a direction to be able to fill your agenda if you call yourself a believer. And if you're the church, you should not be letting those people in the church and be messing with the flock. It just shouldn't happen, you know, and it's a spirit of witchcraft and manipulation. But quite often what's happening in the church today is there's people playing politics in the church, so it's not a big deal to play politics in the context of manipulation and persuasion and all that into society. And the truth is, we're not called to do that. We're called to honor God, honor authority, in the context of that, of you know, what God says to do. And I just want to encourage you right now that we're facing right now in our country, in our nation, this is our God's news behind the news, you know, we have a community organizer, you know, that's our president and leading our country. And we've been praying for our president and his family and the cabinet. And, you know, we've been praying for them for, I would say, at least 8,000 hours, if not more, maybe more than that, but at least 3 years, because we pray for 24 hours a day, 3-hour watches. You know, we'll pray for the whole hour, but somebody takes a watch. And one of the focus prayers we pray for our president, pray protection over him, that, you know, God would protect him and keep him safe, that he had ears to hear. But, you know, he's a community organizer, like I was a community organizer, but, you know, he was more, you know, into it than I was. And one thing that the organizers do is they go into the church and they take the church to be able to utilize it to the masses to be able to turn a people. We have to realize at this point that we cannot let anybody, you know, as shepherds, as leaders in the church and as members of the body of Christ, that we have to be careful that we just don't let anybody come in and start telling us what to do outside of what God says to do. You know, that we have a king and he tells us, you know, this is how things operate. He gives us an operating way we're supposed to operate in life, but we're not supposed to organize a community and have it go against the authorities of the land. That would be manipulation. So, you know, of course, there's a lot of unions now in America, and you could be, you know, a part of the union that's out there, and you know, obviously, I was part of the bargaining unit at as a law enforcement. We had the Police Benevolence Association. I went to bargaining for that. But you can actually do that with an honoring spirit, and you can actually not, you can consciously not try to manipulate your employer. You can consciously, you know, I'm going to come in, they're giving me this kind of freedom to talk about these particular things, but I'm not going to underminingly try to force them to do, as a believer now, I'm not talking to the world, but I'm talking to the church, that we cannot purely before God force our employers through manipulation by saying, hey, if you don't do this, then we're going to, you know, that's a wrong viewpoint. You know, he says in Ephesians chapter 6 that we're supposed to submit to our employers, you know, that we're supposed to do what they say, not just to them alone, but as we're submitting to the Lord, and that that God will actually honor you for doing that. And when you get the job out of the different perspective and realize it's not my God, and that if this job don't work out, God can give me another one. If he feeds the birds of the air and takes care of the grass of the field, he says he's going to take care of us, right? And being Americans, you know, we can afford to lose a few pounds anyway if we had, right?
At least some of us.
I think like 50 or 70% of America is overweight or something like that.
Oh, at least. Not more.
We're sorry for adding to that percentage. We're working on it. We're working on it. And so God's perspective, realize it's community organizing. It's to understand it's very important because somebody's trying to organize you. You have to realize if you're somebody's trying to organize you, they need to be upfront with it. Say, hey, we're going to organize you, and this is what we're going to do. And if they say to you, and we're going to come against the government, you know, we're going to organize you, and we're going to come against our employer. We're going to organize you, and we're going to come against our county commissioners, our city council, you know, come against their authority. Now I'm talking about coming together in regards to, you know, representing a political issue or values or that type of thing. That's what we're supposed to do in America. We can do that. You know, we can stand up and say, listen, that, you know, this law is wrong, you know, and that's not wrong. George Washington stated, you know, this is enter the battlefield of ideas. And that is not an abnormal thing to do. But to force behavior from your employer or force behavior authority is kind of getting dirty in the context of things versus just saying, hey, I'm just not, I like this one particular man. He's running for office right now. And he said this, he said that I told the particular person that's in office now that I was going to run, but I'm not going to run anymore because he was running. He said, but I'll support you as long as I can. And then when I can't, I'll run against you. What a statement. Oh my goodness. But that's America. You know, if you want to run for office, you can run for office. You know, I encourage anybody out there who has, you know, God's heart, you know, you're an abider, you hang out with God, you know, that you spend time with God and pray. And that's what I ask leaders now. I'm like, do you pray? Do you know, what does God say to you? You know, what is your relationship? We just want to know, are you going to pray over these ideas or these decisions that you have, or are you just going to go ahead and, you know, and that's how you can be involved. But in regards to organizing a community to force authority to do something, it's not godly in regards to the way he tells us to do that. Because he says all authority is established by God, and those who rebel against it rebel against what God's established. They're his servants to do you good. But if you rebel against the established authority, he's not bearing the sword for nothing. He's there to punish the wrongdoer. And so that, you know, I know as Americans, we've struggled with, you know, we're America, you know, and I love America. Oh my goodness, I love America. We are blessed. And because of America's, all the people that have fought for our country and represented our country, that I'm able to come to you right now on VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program. But, you know, the church is actually in America, but it's also in Russia. It's also in Israel. It's also in China. The church is all over. And in those areas, it's different forms of government. You know, Jesus wasn't trying to change the government when he was standing before, you know, Pilate. He realized when Pilate said, don't you understand that I'm the government? And he's supposed to be saying, basically, and I can do anything I want to do. And Jesus said, there's no authority given you except that which has been given you from above.
Right.
You know, so when we're coming against authority in the wrong spirit, you know, and not doing it the right way, that we're coming against what God's established, you know, and that's what Jesus was telling Pilate. It's like, come on, dude, really? Do you really think you're talking to God here? He's right.
Yeah.
And so that kind of relieves us in the context of those people that will project themselves as their authority over you. There's people that, you know, will say they're your authority, but, you know, God lays out, you know, what your authority is, and everybody's not, you know, your authority. And, but it's important to identify it. You know, it's one of the things we do in VFNU, and those that are going in to be training for possible ministry, is to be able to, you know, find out, you know, who your authority is, you know, what's going on. And so I just want to encourage you that right now, as community organizers that are scattered across the land, when you look at the ACORN organization, that's a community organizing organization. That's what it's about. You know, organizing people, and that's a cool thing if it's going in the right area. But if we're trying to force, you know, authority to do something it shouldn't do, then we're getting into manipulation there. In America, we can vote. You know, if Christians just got out and voted, no. If Christians abided for 90 days, hung out with God, you know, abide for 2 weeks and call me in the morning, right?
Mm-hmm.
That if you abide with God, and you can go to iabide.org, you know, everybody wants to do it, but you just need a plan. You can get a plan right now. We have one for you, iabide.org. We'll be right back right after these messages. You know, Jesus said in John 15, he says, talking of himself, right, Pat?
Mm-hmm.
He says, I am the vine, talking of himself.
Right.
You, us, believers, are the branches.
Mm-hmm.
And his father, our father, mm-hmm. is the gardener.
Right.
And the vine just kind of grows where it wants to go. You know, it grows towards the sun. Natural vines grow towards the S-U-N.
Mm-hmm.
And spiritual vine and branches grow to the S-O-N.
Wow.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, that is neat.
And so, you know, for God spoke to me about, as he called me out to be able to begin to do what we're doing today.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't just happen like this. And he said, very specifically, I'm going to teach you something for 3 years that I'm going to use for the next 30 years of my church.
Wow.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And he confirmed that through Dutch Sheets. It was pretty cool how God had done that, because you think, you know, when God's calling you, this might be you right now, you might be thinking, okay, I got the call, I'm ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, many are called, but few are chosen. You have to understand that there's a process of learning and growing that you need to understand. What does that mean? Mm-hmm. You know, when he said, get thee up and go to Abram, that meant 25 years, right?
Right.
Well, you need to get rightly related. You need to get connected to what God is doing. And we tried. So once the 3 years was up, it was amazing. Just right in time, God just showed up in a powerful way. He just nailed it. He said, it's finished. It's time to do it. It was just really amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And we started the 30-year journey.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, how can we explain this in a short period of time, you know, a condensed period of time to help people get perspective?
Right.
Of what Vine Fellowship Network's about, and it just integrates with the Word of God. It's just doing what God says, mm-hmm. you know. And so, while Vine, which is Jesus is the Vine,
mm-hmm.
Fellowship is what the church does, and Network, we all stay together and stay rightly related, which is you know, Psalms 133, you know,
right.
And John 17:23. And so, what came of that was we call it the Vine Seminar, the mm-hmm. Vine Seminar, Vine Seminars, which is. There's several different seminars now that's evolved in, but knowing this, that the main seminar that started it was trying to explain
mm-hmm.
how do you move from a flower pot to a vine? How do you move out of the fences and the confinement of men's tradition rightly, not wrongly,
right.
and follow God in the Great Commission? And God walked us through a way to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And he confirmed it every step of the way. Well, we share that. We share that at the Vine Seminars. You can find out more at vineseminars.org. You can sign up for one in your city. Fill it out. Let them know that you are interested in it, and we'll make it available to you. It's vineseminars.org. It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, to just partner on a monthly basis, to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world.
It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation and this nation, by God's grace, to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving. You know, I'm having to make so many decisions in my life and I need help. Well, this is how you can get help, get wisdom. And so we're just going to pick two verses out of this particular proverb today. The verse is Proverbs 31, 8 and 9. It reads, speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and the needy. Oh my goodness. Think about it. You know, we're so quick, you know, in America to all of a sudden just go, you know, this or that, or, you know, we got to pause for a moment and find out what God's perspective is of what's going on, because there's things happening in our streets today. There's things happening on our borders today. There's things that are happening all over the place, you know, and our response could be more self-preservation versus what God would want.
That's right.
Because God's into justice. But there's a two forms of justice happening on the face of the earth. You know, one justice takes place at the cross, and the other is man's type justice. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And as a matter of fact, in times, there's going to be a big, huge justice movement, and a lot of people are going to be pulled up in it thinking that it has to be good because they're bringing justice. God is into justice. God's into fair scales. God cares about how you treat the poor. You know, when you're passing by a transient on the street or a person who's holding their hand out, maybe needs some help or needs to be able to find a place to live or help with their family. I mean, it matters to God. He that lends to the poor lends to God. And so our proverb for today is just to realize, you know, a wisdom for today is that, you know what? I got to check my perspective here. Am I willing to give up my comfort and convenience to follow God? Am I really preserving myself and what I want? When I actually slam my judgment or my gavel down on a situation or an issue or a value, you know, when we are a very blessed country, God has blessed us in America, for those that are listening from America, and we're the richest country that's ever existed outside of Israel, probably even more so, actually, because when you compare the chart over since the beginning of time, it's amazing how blessed we are and been. Our response should be, you know, how are we responding to the, and we've been a very generous nation, but you know, we can be more generous. we can be more generous. And so, you know, we have to be careful when we jump on the bandwagon of a particular group of people that's starting to say, hey, you know, they can pull themselves up by their bootstraps. But you know, there's times God wants you to help grab a bootstrap and pull it up for them. You know, there's times, and greater love hath no man than he laid down his life. Come on, we laid down our schedule and our finances for others. And so he says right here, speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all the destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and the needy. And I love our legal system. You know, we have, you know, if you can't, when I was in law enforcement, I had arrested somebody, I had to actually read them their rights. Right. You know, there's not, America's just so cool. I mean, it just really brings everything to pass where you say, you know, you're about to put the handcuffs on them, or you arrested them, and you read the rights. You say you have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in the court of law. You have the right to have an attorney. If you can't afford one, one will be appointed for you. And people say, why are you reading them their rights? Why would you do that? Well, that's the Constitution, by the way. You're reading the Constitution because they're a citizen of America. But also, look what God said. God's sitting here saying to defend them. I mean, you don't really know. Things can look really bad, but, you know, it's okay. Let God. God is just. God's into justice. God will deal with things. Things will work its way out, you know what I mean, in time.
But how we respond to people, for the very fact that we pause and say, listen, you're important. We really don't know all the details yet or not. We're going to let the judge determine this. We're going to let a jury of your peers look at all this. So I want to tell you your rights, because I'm not going to be the one that's judging you. And then they actually, some of them, you know, remain silent. Some of them talk, you know, and some of them get an attorney. And if they can't afford one, America says, we will appoint one for you. It's called a public defender. And it lines right up, doesn't it, with Proverbs right there.
It does. And even for those, you know, for us believers, James says in chapter 2, verse 14, what good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? And so it's so important what you're saying, Greg. You know, faith, actions, supporting the poor and being there for them is really exercising our faith. It's really being there for those who are less fortunate.
Which is cool, because the mindsets and everything you're hearing, you know, with all this partyism and stuff going on, we got to be careful that we're in this world, but not of this world. We're supposed to be good citizens of whatever nation that we're in. And God does expect us to function in the context of the authority that's there. But our King is Jesus. You know, and he does have, we'll find out in our conversation, he tells us how to relate in other kingdoms. We're supposed to be good citizens where we're at. So we're not a threat to any kingdom. And I was talking to Yulong, hello out there, Yulong in China, you know, that, you know, the Chinese government was concerned about the church coming in, because they were concerned about how the Roman church comes in, about setting up their kingdom. You know, Rome has the papacy, and they literally have their own sovereign government. And so they were a threat. They were a threat to China. Mm. And I never thought about this when Yulong was talking to me about it. And we're not supposed to be setting up our kingdoms in this world. You know, our kingdom is with God, and the kingdom of God comes in our heart, and everything around us benefits when we submit to our King. And we're not going to be a detriment to you. We're actually going to be a positive influence, because we're going to, when you punch us in one cheek, we're going to turn the other cheek. When you ask us to go 1 mile, we'll go 2 miles. Now, you know, since I hadn't started my fitness program yet, I may have to, you know, drive you that extra mile. You know, every one of us go through times in our life where it just seems hopeless. As a matter of fact, I remember watching young people who had on their windshields with vinyl lettering, the words were hopeless. I couldn't believe that. Why would you put that? Don't put that on your, you know, and I can understand, maybe it's a cry of your heart. You're going, listen, I need hope. Well, I got news for you that right now on your on VFNTV.com or on your VFNTV app, and you can find it by going to your browser and type in VFNTV.com, and it'll lead you through the steps to be able to have it on your iPhone or your mobile device or your iPad or iPod or your all the wonderful stuff that they have out there. And so, but with that, you can get hope, because you got to understand that, you know, when you think about Abraham, against all hope, in hope, he still believed. It's okay. A lot of times we're looking and saying, okay, I've looked at the evidence. I looked at my inabilities. I looked at my finances. I looked at my relationship. I looked at what everybody's saying about me. I've looked at all these different things. But you can do that. You can look at your reality. It's okay in God to look at your reality. And in the natural sense, it ain't going to happen. Ain't going to happen.
Right.
But you still can have hope against that hope, but it's a different hope. It's called faith. It says, now faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you don't see. And it's hope. It's that kind of hope. You know, inside of me, it hasn't manifested yet, but what I'm believing God for is going to come to pass. And, you know, and I have a dream. I literally have a dream that God is going to pour out a third great awakening. I know, obviously, you know, that, you know, the church is going to have to be, you know, in agreement with what God is saying. But I'm just believing you. That's why we're on VFN TV and VFN Radio, to be able to talk to you and encourage you. Listen, God's got good plans in store for you. Good plans in store for you. And I have a dream.
Wow, that's so wonderful. You know, I want to talk today about the VFN Torch Top 3. It's that time for the Top 3. Well, we're excited to be sharing these every single day. as often as we get a chance, because so many people are encouraged. You know, we have so many highlights, and it's so cool to look back at these and say, wow, that really ministered to me. I'm getting, you know, posts and texts all the time about, man, that was great, and that ministered, and I'm going to share this with a family of mine. But number one article or highlight we want to share with you today.
Well, you think about it. There is over 1,260
wow
articles, videos, and segments to encourage our listeners on the torch.
Wow. And
1,260.
Yes. And all you got to do is just go to the upper right hand segment of the torch, which you get to vfntv.com, and type in any topic. Any topic, and what if it was a program that we talked about that day or somebody we interviewed, it'll come up and you can instantly go there, maybe share it with a friend, somebody you want to encourage. You can find it on the torch. It's just over 1,260.
That is a lot. Well, number one I want to speak about is reckless words pierce like a sword. This is found in Proverbs 12:8, that reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise bring healing. And many today are speaking recklessly without giving much concern to how their words are affecting others. It's like a loose cannon firing shots left and right. And unfortunately, these are the same people who are harmed when words are spoken by others against them. Like, wait a minute. There is no filter on the words coming out of your mouth. But it's amazing how that works, and those other words are coming right back at you. And the truth is that, you know what? If your words are coming out of your mouth recklessly, or you're not giving thought to your ways, as the Proverbs instructs us to, that a wise man and wise woman gives thought to their ways, you are literally piercing people. But you know what else you're doing? You're piercing Jesus. You know, the Word of God says that whatever you've done to the least of these brothers of mine, you have done to me. The truth is that, you know what? The power of life and death is in the tongue. And it's foolishness as someone, that little riddle says, sticks and stones will break my bones, but your words will never harm me. That's a lie. Words are harmful. But you know what? You can use words to bring life and to bring hope to people. So I want to encourage you today with this highlight. Listen to it, because it's really going to help you to give thought to the words that come from your mouth.
It's so funny. People go, well, words don't harm anybody. Well, watch. I'll show you. And you say one word. It's like
watch them fall apart.
See? That was just one word. Now, grab my hand. I'll pick you back up again.
Let's try this experiment. In the same vein here, the same vine, the second one I want to talk about is, don't close your jaw when expressing love. And we're going to get to these real quick as we come to the end of the extra hour. But don't close your jaw when it comes to expressing love. You know, Proverbs 27:5 says, "Is better is an open rebuke than hidden love." And so many people these days are assumed that others know that they love them. It's just an assumption. And they're shocked when someone challenges them or expresses to them that they don't feel that they're loved by them. And, you know, fathers today, you know, they're working. And they're working hard to bring provision for their family and take care of their children. And they kind of feel like they're loving their children by the provision that they're providing. But they're not placing, some are not placing the effort in pronouncing three powerful words.
I love you.
I love you. And there's children today who are craving, boys and girls, craving the love of their parents, craving the love of their fathers, craving the love of their mothers, and they're waiting for someone to tell them. They're waiting for their parents to tell them, I love you. I want to encourage you today that if you don't tell your children that you love them, somebody else will.
The first one that says it and means it wins.
That's right.
Their heart.
That's right. And the last highlight we want to share with you is give your ear, listen to advice. Listen to advice. And you were encouraged to avoid the ways of a foolish person who's only interested in following and airing their own opinions and statements. Okay, it's important. It's important not to be foolish. It's important to listen to those who God has put in our life, those who are instructing us, and those who are leading us in the truth. You know, if a Christian's chief aim is to be in right standing with God, then we're going to be open to listening to what his word says to us, what God wants to say, and what other people who love God are willing to tell us.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.